Thank you for having me present today. I'm going to go a lot more local now and step back from the big picture view and talk about a local project that we developed that was a community-based fruit and vegetable voucher pilot program. And I'm going to concentrate today on implementation and dissemination outcomes and just talk a little bit about our effectiveness outcomes, as this was a pilot program and one that I think holds promise for dissemination into other communities. I don't have any relationships to disclose. So this project, is that better? Okay. So this project was developed with the acknowledgement, as many of the speakers have alluded to today, that financial barriers are a real barrier to fruit and vegetable consumption in low-income households. And it's not just the price of the food that is the economic barrier. The actual cost of your food items, particularly for perishable foods, includes the cost of the food, the travel to the store that stocks the perishable food, the amount of time it takes to prepare raw ingredients, the storage space and equipment, and also the potential for food waste, particularly if you have children in your household and you don't know whether they'll eat the broccoli or not. The idea for a voucher program comes from multiple different directions, but the idea is also that not only does it help the family, but also helps the community in which families live, particularly because it supports local food vendors to stock fresh fruits and vegetables and build demand in the neighborhood, much like some of these other people have alluded to. The idea that with increased demand for fresh fruits and vegetables, you would increase traffic and sales more generally in stores that are stocking fresh fruits and vegetables. And if you allow an increased turnover of highly perishable items, then clearly they become cheaper to stock. The idea then is that you increase the supply of fresh fruits and vegetables not only for people who carry the vouchers, but for people who do not as well. So today I'm going to describe the project implementation, our successes and challenges, and then again give you brief results of our pilot trial. So in 2009, the WIC program, as you know, implemented changes to their standard basket so that now a fruits and vegetable voucher was part of a standard WIC package, and because of that, WIC vendors were required to stock a variety of fresh fruits and vegetables. The monetary value of the WIC fruit and vegetable voucher is quite small for virtually everybody. In California, it's on the order of $8 per month. that being said, it did create an entire infrastructure of WIC-approved stores now carrying fresh fruits and vegetables. And we sought to leverage the system in order to create a system that would work both for people who currently carried WIC benefits, but also theoretically could work for anybody else, because not just somebody enrolled in WIC could carry this voucher. So a voucher system includes the voucher itself, of course, the vendor network, who are the grocers who are WIC-approved vendors and know to accept that voucher, a system for reimbursing all of the vouchers that come back to you, and then, of course, the people who are going to carry the vouchers. So we set up our system to work as much like the WIC system as possible, and this is really important for feasibility and dissemination, because the more different projects and programs that the vendors have, the more difficult it is for them to buy into the process. So clients picked up their vendors. For this project, they were WIC participants again. They would redeem the vouchers at the same vendors that they were used to using for their WIC vouchers. That coupon was mailed back to us at UCSF, and we mailed back to the vendor the face dollar of the voucher plus a $1 convenience fee. We created our vouchers to look as much like a standard California WIC voucher as we could in both the color scheme and also the way that the voucher looked. I'll focus on a couple of things. First of all, we had a little bit of a different idea about what fruits and vegetables we wanted covered, and because I really do think that the cost of fruits and vegetables is not just in the cost, but also in the lack of convenience, the lack of spices that people have, et cetera, we changed our fruits and vegetable approved foods to any fresh or frozen fruits and vegetables without added sugar or salt, including herbs and prepackaged items. It's very easy with a voucher to track who's redeeming the voucher, and we could use that for research purposes for figuring out who was spending what on which purchases. These other boxes are exactly the same as a standard WIC voucher in California, and the only real other difference is this last place where it tells you the address to send the voucher to, and this the vendor sends in. We did give vendors self-addressed stamped envelopes, so at the end of the week they took all their vouchers, they put it in the envelope, and they put it in the mailbox to us. We had these printed on standard checks that you buy at the bank, at a check printing agency, and on the bottom of this check, as you all know, the bottom would usually have a lot of routing information, and instead we put on the bottom of the check the most commonly purchased fruits and vegetables in the United States among both Americans and Latinos, and ask people to either slip in a copy of their receipt with this or to circle what items that they purchased. And so here's an example of one that was purchased where the client spent the voucher for $10 and circled that they had purchased beets, Brussels sprouts, melon, and potatoes. So in order to do vendor recruitment, this is actually quite challenging to go around to all the different vendors in a community and ask to participate in the program. And the way that we did it was we initially sent a letter out, and then the WIC program in San Francisco and in most communities has a WIC vendor liaison who travels to each site at least one point during the year to do their WIC-based liaisoning. And we had our person go out with that WIC vendor liaison to each of the sites in our target neighborhoods, introduce themselves, and because they came with the WIC vendor liaison, who was a known person, we had incredibly positive results in terms of vendor buy-in. We, of all of the sites that we visited, which were, I'm forgetting the number now, 18 maybe, 18 small sites, all of them except for one wanted to participate in the program. So there was a very, very positive community, a positive feeling about it from community members. The large corporate stores, we had to do a lot more over email and over phone, and most of them, with the exception of one, were very, very enthusiastic about the program as well, but took a lot more finessing to figure out how to make the voucher work, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. I will say that as an academic institution, I covered most of this already, but as an academic institution, it was quite difficult for us to figure out the reimbursement system because UCSF had a lot of concerns about being on the hook for all of this money and forgeries and the legal implications, but done through public health channels that already do a lot of this type of work, I think this would become a lot less challenging. And that is the next step for us, to move this out of the academic system altogether. So here are some of the challenges that we encountered. First of all, we had a lot of concern about vendors not accepting the voucher for certain foods that they had questions about. So, for example, applesauce. Is that included as fresh or frozen fruits or vegetables? We were concerned that if we started to take calls and say, no, that's not an acceptable purchase, that people who were trying to redeem the voucher would feel stigmatized, it would be uncomfortable at the line. So we basically said, essentially anything goes. And that is not something that could probably be used if it was disseminated more broadly, but that we were really concerned about difficulty redeeming the voucher. There were a lot of concerns about forgery, and I will say it's not really all that difficult to create a voucher that can't be forged. There's a lot of technology out there. What is more difficult is to teach the vendors how to spot the forgeries, but I can show people at the end if they're interested how we did that. So we were interested in this both as the implementation of the system and as a research project, how we could enroll people into a real research study and a nutritionally based research study from WIC programs. And so we first approached 196 women and asked them, just would you be interested in getting a $10 per week fruit and vegetable voucher if it meant that you know, we were going to ask you to complete a survey and we were going to ask you to check check your blood pressure. Sort of the standard community in low-income communities, the acceptance of going into a research study is very, very low, and we were really shocked to have 92% of people saying that they were willing to participate, which again I think is indicative of community demand for such vouchers. We were looking at our outcome at evidence of reduction in blood pressures. There's a lot of biologic plausibility to increasing fruit and vegetable consumption causing a reduction in blood pressure. So we were also measuring people's blood pressure and found that about a quarter of them had pre-hypertension or hypertension, which is a shocking number, but actually is not all that surprising with epidemiologic evidence in low-income and minority women, even very young reproductive age women who would be receiving WIC benefits. So we took 30 women with prehypertension or hypertension and enrolled them in a four-week trial. 77% of them came back in a month with no other incentive other than that they would get additional food vouchers. We had very little trouble redeeming the vouchers. Nobody gave them away or sold them, and virtually every voucher was redeemed for $10, which was the maximum amount of the benefit. Using a single item question, just how many fruits and vegetables are you eating now compared to before the voucher, 91% of women reported they were eating a little or a lot more fruits and vegetables. And then using the NCI's validated fruit and vegetable screener, we found that 70% of women reported an increase, 9% no change, and 22% a decrease in their fruit and vegetable consumption. We then asked the women to proxy report on the fruit and vegetable consumption of all the other members of their household and found that the highest increases in reported fruit and vegetable consumption were among children in the household between the ages of 0 and 5, and that was really where most of the fruits and vegetables were being consumed. Systolic blood pressure did decrease in 65% of participants from about 121.7 to 121.3. So it did take some time for vendors to recognize our vouchers. You're not just talking about the manager, but each different cashier at the vendor site had to recognize the voucher. But it was helpful that we had framed this as a new program for participants, and so they were used to, they were accommodating of any glitches that they encountered, although we found the glitches were much fewer than we had anticipated going in. We did have lots of support from, for example, Safeway corporate headquarters. They were very willing to distribute it throughout all of our target neighborhoods. But actually, in the Safeway store itself, there are lots of employees. And getting every single employee to recognize the voucher meant that we had to come up with a Safeway system to redeem the voucher that was a little bit different than the system you would use at a smaller store. And then feedback from vendors was that it was more worth their while if a lot of people were redeeming the vouchers, and if you only had a few people trickling in once a week, that was a less compelling sell for them. And, of course, we found it very difficult to implement intermittently. Once you have the system in place, you do not want to lose it, because then you have to go and recruit people back into the program and do all of that again. We did have concern, as I said, about stigma when participants had difficulty redeeming, but this was less challenging than we thought, and although this is frequently cited as a concern, we found it was easily overcomable. And then, of course, there is a lot of infrastructure to developing a reimbursement system, and that includes the face-to-face time we spent with initial vendor recruitment, reimbursing the administrative cost of actually writing the petty cash checks and mailing them back to the vendors, and then having a warm line to answer vendor and participant questions should they arise at the point of sale. So we conclude that WIC participants are definitely interested in fruit and vegetable voucher programs, and as I said before, this suggests to me that other people would be interested in them as well. There's no reason why we couldn't have given these vouchers to anybody, people in smoking cessation programs, people with diabetes coming to the clinic. These vouchers could be distributed to anybody. And there is evidence from our return rate that not only were they enjoyed, you know, in that first group, that people wanted to come back for more. WIC vendors were very easy to recruit into the program. They considered it a service to the neighborhood. It wasn't actually that $1 convenience fee that they were interested in, or at least by report. What they wanted to do was give back to the community. Of course, our blood pressure results as a pilot program are limited by the small sample size, the fact that we didn't have a control group, and this was all done in San Francisco. But our results do suggest that these voucher programs do improve dietary intake, and they may, on a larger scale, reduce blood pressure, which would reduce the risk of cardiovascular events if sustained over time. That's it. Thank you. So I'll just speak really quickly. I knew when you were speaking that you were either from Alameda County Food Bank or Philadelphia. There's three food banks in the country that now have a nutrition policy, and including Feeding America San Diego and the two I referenced. So my answer to... Oh. Fabulous. Wonderful. I look forward to hearing more about that. So I guess the simple answer is really just that you have to do the best with what each food bank is able to do at any given time. So, you know, some areas of the country are going to have much more access to produce and be able to work with that immediately, and others need to work with what their current food supplies are. And that's why I think developing the food policies and having that driven in terms of the guidelines for purchasing, procurement, everything from the inside out is just so important, and having the nutrition and the public health professionals helping to drive that. So I know it's not super specific, but it's just each food bank really is going to geographically have to do the best in the small changes to work towards, you know, what they can do. And then I don't know if someone else would like to speak.
Well, I'd like to comment. One of the things that I think that we could do is that we could educate people better about what the bank needs. Like, for instance, in areas right now, we're doing a cereal drive in the grocery much to educate the public about buying good quality cereals that are high in iron, that are low in sugar, and that for that family would provide more nutritional density. So the consumer goes, and they don't necessarily buy the best product, but they buy a cereal and they put it in a bin. I think the same thing is true. I've worked with families in need since 1972 when we gave them commodities because there wasn't any SNAP program. But I'm of the opinion that you need to give families good nutrition and you need to provide the resources they need, because why would you want to give a hungry person a candy bar? And just because you have it. That family needs access to good quality food, and you need to change the food environment. And what we know is that families from our data are going to grocery stores. They are driving distances since the economy got bad and are buying in more grocery stores and in less small stores. But if you watch Weight of the Nation, if you saw the videos, what the stores have said is that they sell the food that is being purchased in their area because of the demand for good food. What I'm saying is, can we try and make the demand there so it's in the interest of the vendor to have good quality foods on the shelves, and then the families have access to buying good quality food in the areas where the small stores are.
And I'd just like to add a small comment on that. And I think on purpose we suggested four strategies and several recommendations within each one. And I think as researchers, what we want to propose is that these strategies or recommendations ought to be tried. You know, without giving it a try, we can't make assumptions about, or very informed assumptions about what might happen as a result of implementing one of them. And that doesn't mean that you have to implement them nationally. You know, we can try these strategies on smaller scale to see what is the outcome, because several entities are going to be affected by it, whether it is the store owner or the SNAP participants or the community food environment. And I think that it needs to be looked into more carefully rather than, you know, just brushing it aside.
Yes, thank you. So I also have an MPH and I'm a dietitian and work for Santa Clara and San Mateo County, Seven Harvest Food Bank, which is the county that's just south of here. And one thing I really appreciate what you all were saying, and I appreciate too the superfoods, the way you did the advisory board. I think that's a great way to pull the community and local dietitians in. And I also appreciate what Allegheny County was saying about how there's a lot of push and pull around at Feeding America and other food banks saying, gosh, we just want to get calories out, and other food banks saying, no, it's got to be good nutrition. I was surprised to not hear you mention the food to farm to table program that we have in California for food banks specifically, where we can buy, and I know Alameda County does that too, fresh produce right from the farms, right to the food bank, 9 cents a pound. And so in Santa Clara County, what we give out, 55% of what we give out is fresh produce right from the farm. So I consider that to be food. And we do a lot of nutrition education. I know that Alameda County does as well. Lots of nutrition education, lots of cooking, how do you prepare it. But some of the foods that you were proposing, I was sitting there saying, I love it as a dietitian. I know that the cost to the food bank is prohibitively expensive. And even foods like tuna that we used to buy, we can't afford it anymore. Beans, dry beans, canned beans, we all know it's a cheaper source of protein, and the cost has gone up tremendously, as well as the need for more food has gone up tremendously. So we struggle with the very high cost of food as it's going up, and the very high demand, all the while trying to give out as much produce, as much healthy food, and do the nutrition education. So the idea of quinoa and very healthy things like that, way out of our price point. But I love the idea of promoting it for food drives. But then again, we serve 237,000 people a month, and we can't designate who gets which food. And so a food drive, you're right, is a small piece piece of what we get, and so a few people would get that, but for the most part, it's not, we just couldn't afford to buy that. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that with you, and ask if San Diego is also participating in that farm to table program.
We have 3 minutes before.
I'm sorry.
Well, just a quick response. I think I tried to preface at the beginning that we really were focusing this initiative around the non-perishables because the Farm to Pantry is unique in some sense to the California, you know, Association of Food Banks. So that answers that. And then the in terms of price, the shopping list you referenced that had the quinoa on it, you know, that is for the food drives, and many of the pantries get up to 90% of their food from food drives directly. So that was more directly kind of bringing it into doing the cooking demos on site with some of the faith-based organizations that we've been working with on the pantry level.
Oh, that's good. Because 80% of the food our pantry get is from the food bank.
Yeah, it's different.
It's so probably
it does, it varies.
Great. We'll take one last question.
Hi, I really enjoyed your presentations. I'm Elizabeth Reichsnyder from ASU, and I'm a nursing researcher. So many nurses are in the audience. I do research with WIC and especially failure to thrive and obesity. And some of the research I've done shows that when I looked at food insecurity among my sample, I noticed that the mothers are obese, but the children are about the 65th percentile. So in these food insecure households that are getting WIC, the children aren't obese. And also I noticed that when I asked different measures of food insecurity, there was about 25 to 30% indicated yes, there's some measure of food insecurity. And the most significant measure was use of food banks, either occasionally or monthly. So yes, food insecurity is associated with obesity for probably older children and adults, but I worry about the younger children. I think, you know, even with WIC and food banks and food stamps are really perhaps not getting the right nutrition they need to grow.
In answer to your comment, I don't know that we have the right safety net. Okay, we need a livable wage, not a minimum wage. And when you look at the safety net, it's assumed that Head Start will provide some of those calories. WIC will cover the calorie needs and nutrient needs for some children up to 5 years of age. They'll enter into a preschool maybe that provides the CACFP. Supplemented foods that are now under the new Healthy School Lunch Act. All of these ingredients are there to help supplement these families, but unfortunately, as was described by her, halfway through the month, the phone's ringing off the hook because they need to have help and that they run out of food. We just have to figure out a way to put all of this together to provide more stable food supply that has good quality foods for these families. We just do. And right now, it's not as complete as it needs to be.
Well, thank you all. Thank you.